We're looking at this passage in Gethsemane. Okay. And I want to talk about what's important to Jesus. Let me start by explaining some situations. So I've seen people struggle with situations before, okay? In my business particularly, I've seen it a couple of times. As you know, I work for the water company, but one of that is where we have a major burst. We have an incident going on, and I get called in as part of the team to deal with an incident. And twice in my career, I have seen managers really struggling with what's going on. Okay? One was Kenley. Some of you know Kenley Treatment Works down the road from here. Okay, nearly got flooded out. 50,000 customers out of water, and if it had been flooded out, they would have been out for weeks because we had no other way to supply that area. We were coming up with all sorts of contingency plans. It was a blinking nightmare. I was sent home so they could call me back at midnight because they know that if they give me coffee, I'll go through the night fine. Okay, so they tended to do that. They would send me home at the beginning. They called me back in at midnight. And I got in, and the two managers that were running that incident effectively had just turned around and just went, "We've lost it, mate. It's not happened yet, but there's no chance. We're going to lose Kenley. You guys have got to come up with a plan for 50,000 customers being off for weeks and how we're going to cope with that." And they were terrifying my team who were standing there about to go into the incident room like, "What?" Got my team in, got them briefed up, and in fact, we did manage to save the works. It was one of the most incredible nights of my life, but we managed to save that works from actually being flooded out. But it was frightening to see two managers who I really respected just completely just lose their confidence, their ability to solve this. And the second time was even more personal. It was a mate of mine. And he was leading the incident team. And a team of directional drillers, yeah, they were drilling underground, punched a hole through a pipe that fed all of Cheam. Caused massive problems in the area. And this guy, I could see him struggling to cope. And the reason was is because it was his house, his friends, his family, people he knew from his church that were affected by this and were likely to be affected for some time. And he said afterwards, he said, "I can't do this anymore." Struggled with the situation. Lost confidence in their ability. When we come and look at Gethsemane, this is the nearest that we ever see Jesus to losing that confidence, and it's a real shock. You see, previously, every time we look at Jesus in the Bible, he's in control, isn't he? You know, even as a kid, he's 12 years old. Yeah, gets lost. And other kids would be running around. He's the one that's sitting in the temple, chatting away with the elders, with the teachers there and things like that, and just seems to exude confidence. When that first miracle in Cana, when he turns water into wine, he's just confident. When he's healing people, when he's teaching, when he's preaching, when he's talking with the Pharisees all the time, Jesus just seems to have that confidence and control. It's not that he doesn't show emotion, but even when he does show emotion, he never surrenders himself to that. He never loses control. He gets upset and angry, but it's not like losing control. But Gethsemane is different. Here we see him vulnerable. Gethsemane is in a valley. Beautiful little valley. Underneath the Mount of Olives on one side and Temple Mount on the left. Just sits down there, and I'm guessing as they were there, they could look up and see the lights of the temple, see the lights on the Mount of Olives. Probably a place that Jesus really loved. They just had the Passover meal. Jesus sat there sharing with his disciples, and he turns around and says, "One of you lot is going to betray me." And Judas slips away. And then Jesus picks up the bread on the table and he says, "Look, my body is going to be broken." Picks up the wine, he says, "My blood is going to be shed." Disciples already in shock then learn that they are going to disown Jesus. Jesus turns around and says, "Look, you're going to disown me." Peter does. He says, no, I'm never going to do that." He says, "Before the cock crows, you're going to disown me three times." And then Jesus leads them out to the garden. As they walk into the garden, he says to most of the disciples, "Look, you guys wait here." And he takes James, Peter and John. He says, "Come with me." Walks further in. Gets them to sit down. And then just walks a little further away and starts praying. And obviously they were near enough that they could hear what Jesus was praying because they record it. Verse 36, "Abba, Father." It's that lovely Abba phrase that he uses. It's basically People say it's like daddy, but it's not quite like daddy. It's not that close, but it is had that sense of closeness that nobody had ever used before in talking about God. Yeah, it's a father sense that he really says. Abba Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. When he says take this cup from me, he's literally saying it's like there's a cup of wrath. It's like this cup of judgment, this cup coming from God. And it's like literally take this away from me. I don't want to drink this. It's astonishing, isn't it? It's almost as though Jesus is asking God to do something so that he can avoid going to the cross. Why does he do it? Why is he doing that? Everything that follows, everything that happens on the cross tells us that Jesus is not afraid of death. Not that he embraces it, but when you see the trial and when you see everything that happens, it's obvious that Jesus accepts that that's what's going to go on. Jesus is afraid of something far, far worse. And for that, we need to think a bit about theology. I'm going to use an example which I often use, which is that, okay, when I talk about this, which means buddy. It's something I learned when I was scuba diving in Australia. I learned to dive there. And they taught you always that when you scuba dive, you always go with somebody else. They're your buddy. Okay? And you think, yeah, that just means somebody else, you know, down there with me type thing. Somebody, you know, close like that. In fact, your buddy is the person that saves your life. Your buddy is the person when you're on the bottom of the ocean and you run out of air and you are 20 meters below the surface. And trust me, that's a long way to see your bubbles going up. Your buddy is the person that you are taught to go to who provides you with air from their spare breather set. And we learned the importance of buddy. Well, I often use that when I'm talking about God. Because us and God, we were designed to be like that. That's what the Bible's about at the beginning, isn't it? Just saying us and God, we are meant to be like that. But that's been split aside. And the reason for that is our sin. Now, sin's an old-fashioned word. Apparently means to miss the mark. It's an archery term when you fail to hit the mark. And it describes how we fail to follow God. These days, people don't like to talk about sin, so they tend to talk about something and say, look, it's like we are rebels. It's like we have rebelled against God. The trouble is Star Wars comes along and tells everybody that being a rebel is a good thing. But it's not in this case. Not cool. We're rebels against God. And because of that, there's a consequence. And the consequence is that. Is separation from God and judgment. We live in a world where we have torn and wrecked relationships with God because of what we've done. That's what the Bible teaches. And Jesus came and said, look, that judgment, because you've done that judgment I will take. It's always a question, isn't it? Why? Why would Jesus do that? Why? Is it the shampoo advert? Because we're worth it? No. You know what you're like. I know what I'm like. We know in our heart of hearts what we're actually like as people, and we know that we are not worth it. No. Jesus does that because God desires a relationship with us so much. Why was Jesus upset? The most important thing for Jesus is that relationship he has with God. That's the most important thing. Jesus has that relationship with God, and on the cross, when he takes our sin, when he takes our judgment, for the first time ever, Jesus is separated from his Father. That's what he cries out about. That's what distresses him so much in that garden. My God, he says on the cross, why have you abandoned me? It's not death he fears. It's the separation from God. Look down at that note on the table. you'll post it. What would you do to keep that? What would you go through to keep that? Whatever you've written on your post-it. You would move heaven and earth. That's your priority, isn't it? That's the thing that is important to you. You would do whatever you could to keep that. Jesus says the most important thing is your relationship with God. And do you know what? We just don't get that. I don't know what you put on your post-its. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody had written on their post-it that the most important thing in the world to them was a relationship with God? Wouldn't that be amazing if that's what this room actually thought? Everybody said, yeah, most important thing is that I actually have a relationship with God. But I'm sure we haven't. Because you know the trouble is we let other things get in the way. We try filling our lives with other stuff. It said, look, right, there's a God-shaped hole in each of us. And we try and fill it up with anything else we can. But the only thing that really fits is God. That relationship with God is so important. Paul actually writes about it later on. And he says, you have no idea of the height and the depth and the width of God's love for you. Now, I know within this room there are two groups of people. Those who have put their faith in God and those who haven't. For those who haven't, let me explain this. Jesus hung on that cross and died with one purpose. To do that. To bring you to God. He went through that agony, and for him it wasn't just the physical agony. Let me just tell you what he went through. Crucifixion was excruciatingly pain. That's where the name comes from, as we heard this morning. They would take heavy nails and they'd drive them through the wrists and through the feet. They'd do that while the cross was lying on the ground, and then they'd launch the cross up in the air, put it up with ropes. There'd be a slot set in the ground. And as that cross came upright, they would drop it with a thud down into that slot, pulling on those nails. The person who was being crucified would have to put himself up on the nails to breathe, push with his legs, take a breath, and then drop back down and just keep on doing it. It would take days to die like that as they kept doing that. That's why if they wanted to speed up a crucifixion, they would break the legs, because then the person couldn't push themselves up to breathe and they would eventually die quite quickly of suffocation. But Jesus wasn't scared of that. Jesus didn't fear death. What Jesus feared was separation from God. And that's what he says to each and every one of us. The most important thing for us is that we are separated from God and that we need to come back. Maybe you already have a relationship with God. Fantastic, brilliant. But that should be the most important thing in your life. Full stop. One of the things these days is that we get to see so much more information about people. And one of the things, I love watching sport. And I love seeing how people train and the demands they put upon themselves. And you see someone who's going for the Olympics and they are so devoted and it's so single-minded in their purpose. They have trained for years. It is a goal that they have. And everything they do, from the food they eat to what they do in their evenings and everything else like that, is devoted to that one goal of, I want to get to the Olympics. But God says, the most important thing in anybody's life is their relationship with God. And the trouble is at times we just treat it like it's one of the other things that we do. And he says that is so important. There's two reactions in this passage. There's two reactions here. You see, Jesus fears losing his relationship with his Father. And the disciples fear losing their relationship with Jesus, and yet they react in completely different ways. Jesus, when he feels that he's going to lose his relationship with his Father, he goes and prays. What do the disciples do? They sleep. Imagine how they felt the next day. See, they probably said to themselves, it's all right, we've had a meal with him, we'll see him tomorrow. Tomorrow things will be easier. Tomorrow everything will just carry on as before and we'll be back to normal and it's all right. There's always tomorrow, they would have said to themselves. There's always extra time. There's other priorities at the moment and I really need some rest. There's always tomorrow. So they slept. Think how they felt the next morning. Jesus, by that stage, was in trial and about to be taken out to the cross, and they were thinking, if only I had spent that time with him then. See, that's the danger, isn't it? We just sleep. There's always tomorrow. Just put it off. Don't need to act upon it now. But Jesus' reaction is different. He knows how important that is. He knows that that is the most important thing in the world. And so he prays. And the point behind that is that each and every one of us need to be like that with God. And that means either starting that or continuing that relationship with God and making it the most important thing in our lives. Because my prayer for each and every one of us in this room is that we will be able to write on that post-it note that the most important thing for me is my relationship with God. Amen. Let's close with a prayer. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for this passage. We thank you that it was so open, how you wrote, how this was written about. That we understood your distress. That we understood how important that relationship with God is. And Lord, we thank you that you voluntarily went to that cross for our sake. You said, I will do my Father's will, and you go to the cross. And you die so you can take that judgment so that we may know you, that we may know the Father, that we may know God. And Lord, we pray that unlike those disciples who felt there was more time, who felt like they could just put it off, who felt like a rest and take it easy, Lord, we pray that instead we will come to you. If it's for the first time, Lord, that we may start following you, that we may place our faith in you, and if it's not for the first time, that daily when we wake up, we will say, Lord, you are the most important thing in my life. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.